the mail messages that have been entered by users are prepared to be sent to a destination and then are actually sent there, all by external software. And while that all takes place, TBBS is actually offline. There's an exception to that, and we'll talk, it's called TIMS, and that's one of our products, and we'll talk a little bit about it here in just a moment. FidoNet actually is one of several networks that do store and forward. One of the biggest and most popular. Others include RelayNet, which is popular in PC board environments, RIME, and something that is called UUCP. I'm getting ahead of myself in the presentation a little bit, but FidoNet is actually two things. It's a technology for doing store and forward email, and it's a network that uses the FidoNet technology to get it accomplished. UUCP is actually one of those types of things, too. It's a Unix protocol, and if you have Unix, you have UUCP, but that doesn't mean you have a network. There are networks that use UUCP as a bit of an interface. Internet is a buzzword lately. The Electronic Frontier Foundation is here at the show, and they're a real champion of Internet, and I'm sure we'll tell you a lot about it. UUCP is the store and forward way into Internet. Internet also has real-time mail in its backbone. All of those are actually the same in the general concept, the way that they work, in that they are store and forward, as we talked about already. Messages are stored and are forwarded later on. They vary in the nuts and bolts, the actual mechanics and the procedures and the programs and so forth that are involved. And they also vary quite a bit in their history, why they were created, what need they were intended to fill, and so forth. And we'll talk a little bit about that in just a moment. What exactly is FidoNet? It is a worldwide BBS network. That's really the important element of it. It's a BBS network. DOS-based BBS network specifically, although since its original implementation, there are now FidoNet implementations on Mac machines and Tandy color computers and everything else imaginable. FidoNet is composed of, I'm getting ahead of myself again here. There are about 18,000 entries in the FidoNet node list, and the node list is analogous to an address book for FidoNet. Of those 18,000 or so entries, only about 15,000 really represent unique systems. Nodes or systems who are part of FidoNet who serve administrative functions may be listed multiple times. So of the 18,000, about 15,000 are unique, and it's worldwide. It's not just here in North America. It's a lot of different places. It's growing very rapidly, too, so I don't honestly know, George, maybe you can shed some light on it if necessary, how accurate these numbers really are. It's a moving target. It's also important to remember that FidoNet is not limited to any particular BBS product, so it's not TBBS. Every bulletin board system that's represented here at the show has FidoNet utilities available for it, either from the company who makes them or from third parties, one of the two or both. And it also makes it a good vehicle if you have your favorite BBS and your friend somewhere across the country has their favorite BBS. You don't have to force each other to change to take advantage of FidoNet. History of FidoNet in a bit of a nutshell. Started in 1984, launched by a guy by the name of Tom Jennings. He's here at the show. Tom is a real character, and back in 1984, he had a BBS, he still has a BBS today, called Fido, that he wrote. And he and a friend of his, I don't know, I guess George had a presentation yesterday where Tom kind of gave his history of FidoNet, which may differ a little bit than my understanding. But Tom had some friends back east someplace, and they used to call each other's Fido BBS and read and reply to mail to one another. And, of course, when you're calling long distance and actually reading and replying to messages at 1,200 baud online, that can run your phone bill up. So Tom decided to enhance his Fido BBS to include store and forward capability. He came up with a way to do it, dubbed it FidoNet, and so the technology and really the FidoNet network were both born in 84. This next one is a bit of a mess. I'm compressing the history substantially in this particular overhead. But back when Tom first founded it, every system in FidoNet had a single number address. He was FIDO number one, his friend was FIDO number two, the third person was three and four and so on. Tom would actually maintain that node list address book himself. So if you wanted to join FidoNet, you'd contact Tom. He would assign you a net number, add you to the node list, and every week he'd send the whole thing out by FidoNet to all of its members. But when it started getting dozens and dozens and later hundreds of nodes in the network, that became a bit of a daunting task, and that was only by 1985 that growth demanded a bit of a different scheme. The first part was to add network numbers and make two-part addresses, and I'll talk about the actual addressing structure shortly. A structure, an administrative structure of regions and networks were added to the network to kind of handle that. And basically, in a nutshell, the regional and net coordinators, who were kind of in charge of their own domain, would maintain their part of the node list and send it up the distribution to the top, where Tom or whoever actually was in charge at that point of the node list would combine all the pieces back together, and then they'd have a master node list. Some special software was developed to handle that and also to make difference files. If you could get one copy of the node list in its complete form, difference files with the special software could be used to keep you your copy of the node list up to date. So without having to actually send the entire node list down the channel every week, node difference files, or node diffs is what they were called, are actually sent out to all the participants of FidoNet every week. The node list processing software will actually keep everybody's node list then up to date with everybody who's come and gone from the network. This illustration is just kind of to emphasize that same point that I just went over. There's a hierarchical structure. Today there is a zone coordinator that serves as the top position. There is a potential for substructures under nets that are called hubs. Here in the network that's here in Denver, there's actually administrative hubs. They maintain even smaller portions, send it to our local net coordinator, who sends his part up to the region, who sends all of his collective parts up to the zone and so forth, merged into the master node list up top, and then the node diffs are propagated back down through the network to all the participants of FidoNet so that they can keep up to date. Continuing a bit with the history of FidoNet, initially all it offered was point-to-point electronic mail and file transfer, and that was useful if you were either a user of a system who was in FidoNet, or you were a FidoNet sysop yourself, and you needed to speak with somebody who was also a user on another FidoNet system somewhere else, or who ran a FidoNet system. You could send electronic mail messages back and forth between yourselves, wherever you may be, through the FidoNet mechanism. What's actually responsible for most of FidoNet's incredible appeal and phenomenal growth has been something called EchoMail, which was designed in 1986 by a guy in Dallas named Jeff Rush. EchoMail is basically shared message areas, shared public message areas. If you and your best friend, both you and your best friend in Florida, for example, shared an interest in photography, and you both ran a BBS that was on FidoNet, you could create an EchoMail area on photography and pass messages back and forth between them, so that users on both systems could post messages in those areas just like they normally do, just as if it was a local message area that went nowhere, and those messages would be copied and sent around to the other participants in that EchoMail area. EchoMail is, of course, delivered by the FidoNet vehicle. It's grown considerably. It's kind of beyond the scope of this presentation, but there's a national EchoMail backbone that carries a phenomenal amount of national echoes. EchoMail areas can be part of that. They can be local. They can be private. You and your friend can just make one on the fly and just do it. The way that FidoNet is structured today, it's still hierarchical in nature, but there are a couple of other levels. There's actually a fifth level that's on here. It's not on here actually. That doesn't bear much discussion at this point. But these are the four parts that are most common. The first is our zones. Zones were originally envisioned as a way to divide or to identify different continents. North America is Zone 1, Europe is Zone 2, and so forth. I think FidoNet takes the first five or six zones?
Right.
Six zones. Once that was in place, it became kind of a handy way to identify other FidoNet technology networks, which I'll talk about in just a second. Remember, FidoNet is both a technology and a network, and it's possible to set up a network that uses the technology but has nothing whatsoever to do with the FidoNet itself. So in order for these different FidoNet technology networks to communicate, zone numbers have been applied now so that these different networks have their own zones and can pass mail in between. The next part is really two parts from the illustration, the tree illustration we had before of regions and nets. Administratively speaking, they're really two separate parts. Address-wise, they're really the same. Regions cover broad geographical areas. I think we're region 15 here in the Rocky Mountain area. That covers several states. Here in Denver, we're Net 104. So if you were in Denver, you would get a node address assignment and become attached, in essence, to FidoNet locally in the Denver area. But if you were out in the boonies somewhere and not near a local network, you would apply to the region level. Address-wise, they are in the same place, as I'll discuss in a moment, even though administratively and structurally, they're really regions are above nets. Last part is nodes. That was the original part of the FidoNet addressing that that Tom had originally done. And then there are points. Points are actually a way that if you ran your own BBS and participated in FidoNet, points would be a way for your users to use the FidoNet mechanism to also participate in Echo Mail and Netmail and so forth through you or through your system. With the popularity of things like QWK offline mail readers, points have become largely kind of a moot point. FidoNet, as we're going to see shortly, is not exactly a very easy thing to implement, and QWK is virtually effortless, so points have become kind of a non-issue, although their functionality is very much the same in the end as what QWK is offering today. The bottom part, by the way, is a FidoNet address. That happens to be mine. It is FidoNet gurus would say that that's 1.104.36.6 and really roll it off pretty quick. What it is that the 1 colon is saying that I'm part of Zone 1, I'm in North America. The 104 is the net portion of that number, which identifies me as being a node in the Denver area. 36 is my unique node within the 104 net, and .6 would refer to the sixth point who is participating on my system. It's important to note that there could be net 104 in different zones. There could be other node 36 in other nets. So really, it's that hierarchy that that makes an address totally unique. This is kind of a summary of some stuff that I've already basically said. FidoNet is a network and a technology. When you want to implement FidoNet on your TBBS or other BBS system, you can either join the FidoNet itself and become one of those 18,000 entries in the address book or node list. You can pick from a variety of other FidoNet technology networks, or as many of our commercial customers do at eSoft, you can create your own private network. And we kind of address both needs at eSoft. We have a lot of customers who've created that private network to hook up multiple TBBS systems. As I was saying earlier, FidoNet is not exactly something that's easy and straightforward to set up, and anyone who is part of FidoNet will happily confirm that, I'm sure. This list, oh boy, it actually does fit on the screen, I'm surprised. Anyone who is in FidoNet has had to figure all of these parts out, find the pieces and put them together. And regardless of what bulletin board software that you're actually running, all of these parts, or at least most of these parts, are going to be part of the package. They consist of the mailer itself, that's the actual engine, in a sense, which performs the FidoNet transfers according to FidoNet specifications. These are a bit out of order, so bear with me. The next part really is the scanner tosser. That's an import-export vehicle. In the case of TBBS, that would be anything that would extract messages from the TBBS message base and prepare them to be delivered by FidoNet, and vice versa. On inbound, it will take those FidoNet messages, toss them into the TBBS message base. The packer router is for outbound mail, so after you've scanned out all of that mail, you need a packer to actually prepare it for the mailer then to deliver. And the router is sometimes a separate piece, sometimes it's part of the packer, but the router is used in cases where you might send mail to not directly to its destination, as is usually the case, but you'll actually route it through another system on its way somewhere. Usually, it's kind of standard convention in FidoNet that if I here in Denver had a message to send to Columbus, Ohio, I wouldn't send it directly to the destination. I'd send it to the host or the net coordinator in Dayton. And that would be an example of routing. Other parts, and this is really out of order, the one part that's going to be common to everybody is a node list compiler. That takes that node list, that address book, and pre-digests it into something that the BBS software and the mailer can understand and use. Everything does not, or nothing rather, reads the node list, the raw node list as it's distributed directly. It always has some binary format so that it can look things up conveniently and easily. So a node list compiler is a given in virtually every case. The rest are kind of optional. File requests are part of FidoNet. They're basically a substitute for dialing up a system and doing a direct download. But instead you use the FidoNet vehicle to do that automatically unattended, so you may need a file requester to initiate that process. a lot of the echo mail, due to the volume, is sent compressed. So you may need an archived mail handler. If you do, you'll have to have archive utilities to actually compress the mail and uncompress it when it comes in. If you have points, you'll need a point handler. If you participate in echo mail, you'll probably need an echo requester. And I, as far as I know, this is a partial list, so it can get pretty brutal. Interfacing TBBS to FidoNet is really no different. I've left some of the parts off here, but the parts really are all the same. The problem we've got right now is that not all of them are supplied by eSoft, and it makes your job even tougher. You'll need a mailer. That may be the TIMS package that we produce at eSoft. In the current version of TIMS, if you go that route, you'll also need another mailer anyway, and what we call an outdial mailer that you get from a third party. You'll need the scanner tosser. We do supply that, or you can use something else like T-mail. You'll need the Packer router. That's from a third party. The archive mail handlers are third party. The node list compilers are third party. The echo requesters are third party. The list goes on and on. So it makes the job of interfacing TBBS to FidoNet real difficult. If you have problems getting any of those pieces to work, eSoft will be happy to help you with the parts that we sold you, but we're not going to give you support for parts that we didn't supply, and it makes your job very difficult. If something goes wrong, there's not a single place to stop and get help with it. And that's really the very situation that we're going to work very hard here over the next several months to rectify. That's going to start with TIMS 1.1, target released by the end of 1992. TIMS 1.0, which is what we'd sell you today if you bought it, is what we call a passive mailer. It does everything a FidoNet mailer does. It just never places a call anywhere. And that's the external mailer element here. If you are in a situation, as most FidoNet participants are, where you need to actually send outbound mail to people as well, you either get to buy CDOG from us or add your own external mailer to it and figure out how those pieces go together. That'll be rectified with TIMS 1.1. It'll be full outdial capability. No external mailer will be required anymore. Full mailer capabilities on multiple lines. That happens in conjunction with, simultaneously with, human callers, both inbound and outbound. If you have a multi-line system, a lot of things can be happening at once depending on how you've configured it. We do have demonstrations of that product in our booth. It's not done yet. No release date's been set, but our commitment right now is to release that by the end of 1992. The other part of that plan, and probably even more important than making TIMS do outdial, is this, new netmail utilities. As I said before, at least the way that it is right now, you have to get all kinds of parts from everybody else except eSoft in order to make this work. So the first step is to give total integration of all the functionality that I talked about before, the really long list. The packer, the router, scanner, tosser, handling of archived bundles, mail bundles inbound and outbound, full zone and point support, faster performance, built-in echo requester or area fix capability, generating file requests and so forth, will all be a part of that package. We have also made arrangements with Scott Samet, the author of XLAX Node, which is, I think, without a doubt, the fastest and most popular node list compiler in FidoNet. We'll have a special version of it. The only thing that you'll need to add is the archive utilities themselves, ARC or ZIP or whatever that you want to compress your electronic mail. Everything but that, eSoft supplies. And contrary to the impression, I guess, left with some of our customers right now who are part of FidoNet, we've been kind of quiet about all of this and quiet about what we're doing. Phil has worked hard to obtain and or develop the pieces to do that. FidoNet's nothing. The FidoNet network itself is nothing if not political. And so we've been kind of, not FidoNet. So we've been actually trying to keep a fairly low profile while we make all of these arrangements. The one that kind of broke the lid off of it is when Larry Lewis went public with the fact that, yes, eSoft had bought all of the rights to T-mail. So T-mail, which is a third-party scanner and tosser and archived mail handler for TBBS, will no longer exist as shareware. Larry will be keeping all of the registration money that he's earned so far, and as far as I know, we'll be handling what support is available for it. eSoft will not be supporting the shareware version of T-mail. So if you have TMail already implemented. Look to Larry to provide what support he's inclined to give you, and TMail will not have any new versions released of it. That's one of the things that we've licensed. I think this is the place really where we kind of also pop the lid off of, of another element, and that is that George Peace, who's kind of a FidoNet luminary, you're the zone coordinator or international coordinator?
Zone coordinator.
For Zone 1 is actually going to be doing that effort for us under contract. So George is also responsible for QM, which is a .MSG. I don't know any other way to describe it. It would be Opus and Fido and Maximus type compatible scanner tosser that he's been working on under that platform. So he's going to kind of combine the technology from TMail and use his other expertise to make kind of a new hybrid package. So it won't look like TMail, won't function like TMail. It'll just have TMail's heart and soul in it, maybe, and that's probably about the extent of it. But those will be new utilities. It'll be staged separately. TIMS 1.1 will actually be available first, and then sometime, hopefully early next year to mid next year, the actual new NetMail utilities will be available. So it isn't actually going to happen at the same time. It'll be a two-stage process. So the TIMS 1.1 will add out dial, and if you already have the FidoNet utilities or something else working, you'll end up keeping that. But I guess now is the point where I'll open it up to any questions anyone might have about anything. Yeah?
On the new tosser, packer, unzipper, bind program, will that be run offline?
Still is going to be offline. We are not going to have real-time scan and toss. Good question. Well, after you, either before, I guess, actually after you hunt down all of those utilities we were talking about, you need to find, if you're in a, even smaller metropolitan areas now generally have their own nets, you need to hunt down the net coordinator. George was kind enough to give this to us. This has all the, this is all the local network coordinators. This will actually be helpful. Hopefully, this is all of the region and net coordinators in FidoNet, and basically you need to find the net coordinator in your metropolitan area, get in touch with them, and ask them that exact same question. If you're not in a major metropolitan area, it's going to wind up being that you'll contact the regional coordinator and ask them about it. And if you're not sure, contact the regional coordinator anyway, and they'll tell you if there's a net in your area. But it varies. The secret is, unfortunately, that it's a mess, and it's not difficult, and again, anybody who's been through it before will tell you that it's not exactly fun unless you like beating yourself to death with a bat, but it's worth it. That really is the problem, and it's tough. You need to find somebody really who is already in it who can lend you a helping hand, particularly if it winds up being TBBS, because like I said, at this particular moment, we supply two of the pieces you need, and there's a lot more pieces that you still need to have. I don't know who is next. Yeah.
In terms of logistics, are boards normally configured so that the FidoNet conference areas are separately from the board's internal conference areas?
You may or may not. The only thing that has a different user interface in any BBS, whether it's TBBS or something else, is the actual NetMail area, which is the person-to-person electronic mail. You need to feed it a destination address. In Echo Mail areas, they look the same to the user, and in TBBS and everything else, it looks the same. So they may be carrying on this thread with somebody who's on your board or maybe on some other board entirely, and they won't know any different. Most people break them out, but you don't have to.
Administratively, is it advisable, in your opinion, your personal?
Not in a TBBS environment, no. I don't think there's any real technical reason to do it, yeah. Well, the theory is, and unfortunately it's not going to be a single piece until we get the NetMail utilities to go with it, at which time we'll really have the full package and better documentation to talk about it. It's still going to be a little bit difficult. The part that will no longer be there is having to set up the secondary mailer. It'll still, the mailer functionality will still be there. Well, will be integrated rather than two pieces. It'll be one piece, but all of the NetMail utilities and node list compilers and all that other stuff, you'll still need to kind of struggle through to a certain degree. It'll be easier than doing FidoNet and TIMS 1.0. I'll pretty much, I think, guarantee that.
If you go through the pain and suffering of setting up TIMS
be real simple, but there hopefully will be some advantages to it. Not on the upgrade pricing, I don't believe.
The pricing we have right now for regular SIMs will stay the same one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Will there be any upgrades to AMAX coming out before long?
Oh, no.
You've got to read that version 7 node list. It's a killer.
Is there something in the node list I should see? Oh, you wanted to read version 7. I thought maybe there was something in there I should see. No, I've been getting a lot of comments about the plan right now, and it's a matter of time to package it up. But my plan and intention right now is to just let go of it. I'll release the beta as it is, which I don't think is broken in any significant way. All it does is version 7 node list. It won't do anything else. And release it with source code and kind of give it a final kiss goodbye and say, here, the world can have it. But it's a matter of time to just get the thing repackaged up and get all of that done. But that's my intent right now. So I actually may as well just make the beta executable file requestable. I've given it to everybody I know. So hopefully that'll happen soon. Yeah.
Why need any more than TIMS and PDARM to set up a private network?
To set up a private network, you really don't. CDOG comes with really not a node list processor to compile. I guess it does do a nodeless
piece. TIMS and TIMS can both still use a CDOG style node list, and CDOG has the ability to compile that and do all the work with that.
It's not really a suitable compiler for FidoNet's node list, but you can make your own small text based, and it's got the utilities you need to create the binary files. And as Bob said, TIMS and TBBS will use the resulting node list from that process without a problem. Will TIMS 1.1 do that as well, or is it version 7 only? We don't know that yet. The answer is that may change under TIMS 1.1,
right,
but if you were to buy...
We have the usual problem with an option module, which is the PBS option module has to fit within certain constraints. If there's room, it'll do both. If there's not room, it'll only do version 7.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, basically the way that it works is that you can kind of invent your own addressing structure, and that's one nice thing about the CDOG manual anyway, is at least tells you a little bit about those elements and what's involved in creating the node list for it and so forth. Somebody in your organization will have to serve as kind of the coordinating individual or system for it, and it'll kind of harken back to the way that Tom Jennings used to do it, where the easiest way anyway to do it is to just maintain a text-based node list and distribute the entire thing to all the participants of it whenever it needs to be updated. Wouldn't have to be weekly like it was in FidoNet. It could be at whatever interval you want, but make sure that that's propagated around, and the individual participants in a private system would compile that with whatever software or BBS or whatever that they're running and use it. It does not have to be TBBS at all. The only thing you need to do is you know, figure out what kind of BBS it is and what utilities. Ask the vendor of that package what you need to do it. But it's been a long time since I've encountered a BBS package that doesn't have FidoNet support, either from the manufacturer or through third parties. And that goes for EchoMail and NetMail both. If you can get the FidoNet capability, you can certainly share NetMail and EchoMail between TBBS and other systems. Yeah.
TIMS 1.1 is released. Will it be totally implemented through GhostNet?
Bob.
No.
Well.
Well, can it be implemented?
Well,
our internal schedule.
Well, it'll have a way to configure when it does what. I mean, you can't very well say, I'm going to dial any number that I find available any time of day. So in that regard, it's going to be like Binkley Term or CDOG or whatever. You can schedule when it's going to dial who for various criteria.
Yeah.
But ghost events is a special thing in TBBS, and it's not going to require ghost events.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good point. I'm on TBBS and CDOG. I've got a user who calls long distance, and since right now I'm not an offline reader, she was talking about points. What software does she need on her end for me to send her out to stuff
at the point? In essence, she needs a full FidoNet implementation, independent most likely of a BBS, which is doable with something like CDOG. DeBridge or Front Door, I think, would do it. Binkley Term, for example, needs a bunch of extra parts with it in order to do it. But any complete FidoNet system independent of a BBS could do that. CDOG, I'm not that familiar with DeBridge and FrontDoor, which are the other two mailers. I mean, the four primary mailers are going to be CDOG, or now CMail, Binkley Term, DeBridge, and FIDO, or FrontDoor. And DeBridge and FrontDoor are, at least in theory, complete packages. In other words, they're the mailer, the packer, router, scanner, tosser, and all of that junk, mail reader, the whole nine yards in one package. Binkley Term is kind of the mailer engine only, and then CDOG is and CMail are kind of complete packages too. But you'd need to do that. The easiest way, I mean, points are kind of a fake construct, which makes them kind of hard to set up. If the object is really only to send mail to you and participate in echo mail, really about the only thing you need to do is add a fake node to your existing node list during the compilation process and just have her use that address, or him or her use that address. You really don't need much more than that. If they were going to want to participate in netmail outside of your system, then you'd need a point remapper of some sort so that when an incoming message comes through as, in my case, on that example, 104.36.6, that it knows how to remap that into that fake address. And that's the whole thing with point remappers. FidoNet itself, as a technology, doesn't support all those points directly. It's all kind of faked. So if they want to participate outside of your system, it's going to be a problem. Because I'm not sure how to do that. If you're using our stock netmail utilities, I don't even know how to, or if software is available to do point remapping at this point for it. So, yeah. Well, the netmail, I suppose, in the context I was talking about it, are the actual, all of those adjunct utilities collectively, whatever they may be, whereas TIMS is just the mailer. So TIMS is the vehicle that it is delivered through. And the utilities, netmail utilities, are all the things that get it in and out of, all the things responsible for getting messages in and out of TBBS and to the mailer so it can do its thing, is really what it is.
TIMS package includes the mailer, TIMS itself, and the netmail utility.
The reason I'm asking is I've got your netmail and CDOG on netmail yet. I wonder if I should.
You can go ahead. The difference in that case, if it was just CDOG and the netmail utilities without TIMS, the difference is that TIMS is going to give you the multi-line passive mailer capability so that you can send and, but you can receive mail at any time. Systems can come in and pick up mail that may be waiting for them. People can get file requests, and that's really what TIMS does. The difference is that you have the FidoNet mail ability at all times instead of just during the mail handling period is what you're going to have to work with now through external events in TBBS. So in essence, your TBBS will come down at a predefined time. You'll do all of the stuff that happens in that window of time. TBBS comes back up, and while TBBS is active, you have no FidoNet transmission capabilities at all, and that's really what TIMS gives you back, is the ability to do those things while TBBS is online also. Yeah. Well, the help part in the amateur FidoNet is a struggle. It's FidoNet is grassroots, volunteer-driven, and you're kind of on your own to find somebody who's willing to help you. FidoNet has a lot of people involved in it that are real willing to lend a helping hand a lot of the time. I'll give you one of these too, which is some an extract copy of from BoardWatch magazine that has the latest net coordinator listings and so forth, and that's really the place to start. Find out from this list who the net coordinator in your city is, contact them and have that as kind of a starting point. They can supply you with the node list and give you details on the actual process of getting into FidoNet as far as help and assistance with the utilities. It's a combination. If it's eSoft utilities, we'll help you with part of that, the parts, of course, that we supply, and then the rest you're a little on your own. Yeah.
We have very helpful people on our support board, namely Chris Anderson, who's running around here this weekend as the coordinator. But people ask him a question on the support board, and hand-holding is a bad word, but I don't think anybody's been disappointed. Yeah, there's definitely someone here.
Yeah.
How long do you have another one?
Yeah, George brought me 5 copies, and you're number 3, so. Actually, I don't. Do you remember what issue of BoardWatch that was in?
October 92.
October 92.
This is a preprint.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
Tim's 1-1 will not, it's not a coach's bet, but it can be scheduled. Do you need to be awake during the, everything that leaves the app and offline can be.
Right.
Yeah. Now that's a good question. To be a part of FIDONET is no cost. It's all volunteer based. All of the people who keep it running and really keep the node list running. I mean, the network is the node list. That's really the ties that bind, and all of that you can do for free. Echo Mail, on the other hand, is a little different beast. Here in Denver, for example, they set up a cooperative basically to help defray the phone costs of the guy who happens to be Bob here, bringing all of the Echo Mail into Denver. And so that co-op, we all pay $3 a month if we participate in those Echo Mail areas, any one or more that are brought in through that, through him basically. We all pay $3 a month to the co-op. That pays his phone bill and keeps him happy. So it's all, and it varies by the network. Different networks for a long time was free here. The guy just did it out of the at the time, that was before Bob was actually in Denver, the guy did it out of the, you know, kindness of his heart, I guess, and some networks still have that luxury, but others it's generally put together kind of volunteer.
And obviously, if you want to do things on your own, like send a mail message to somebody in Minnesota, if you want to dial them directly, you can send your own phone number.
That's the other element. It does not have a structure for handling your outbound mail at someone else's expense. You send the message and, in essence, pay the freight with your phone bill. Yeah, that's...
You can send your net mail with your Echo Mail. And it goes up the chain, and it goes down the other side of the hierarchical structure, and next week you call the guy and he says, no, I haven't gotten it yet. So
it's faster to just send the thing directly, and then it's generally just overnight that it gets there. But yeah, when you send it through that structure.
A lot of times it'll get there quickly, but there are some areas, you know, East Podunk, Alaska, it's going to take a while.
Yeah.
How important is the FIDONET to an emerging DBA?
I'm not so certain that it's that. Well, I don't know. It depends, I suppose, on how you look at it. It can be kind of important in that it can create the illusion of a busy system very quickly. Echo Mail has an incredibly high volume, and if you are a new system, never had a caller ever before, and you've got everything running, and you start Echo Mail, and a caller calls in for the very first time on your system. God, this guy has thousands of messages. This must be a really busy system. So it's real good at covering up the fact. But really, for emerging systems, my real advice is save it. Get used to just being a BBS first before you start tinkering around with the rest of this stuff, because you'll be at it a while. It's a bit of a struggle.
Of looking like a busy system. If you're a new BBS, you're going to lose callers because you really don't. You're going to have to learn with your callers about what to do to be a BBS.
Yeah, it's an interesting process. Yeah.
You recommend just beyond FIDONET, but do you recommend any particular third-party software for internet to gate internet?
The only two things I really even know of are UFGate and FredGate. What is it? It's a little different thing. It's faster than UFGate, and I don't know a heck of a lot about it. It's really just the import-export utilities. UFGate is a little bit more of a full package. Yeah. Yeah, might want to take a look at the schedule. Or PIMP. If he chooses to go that route, I think it'll be the best way, certainly for a TBBS system, to go about it. And then you don't have to wash any of it through FIDONET at all. It's just all direct. You have the UUC ICO program to actually do it's the UUCP equivalent of the mailer in FIDONET. And his PIMP utility actually will get stuff in and out of TBBS directly for the UUC ICO program to send back and forth to your Unix host. So, That would be a good way to do it. But other than that, really, UFGate and FredGate, I'm not really sure where you get FredGate from. I know we've got copies on the support board, but it's also code that's changed hands a few times, so I don't know who the custodian is of it at this point. Did you have a question?
Yeah. The relay net,
I've heard rumors, but I've never gotten any of the blanks filled in.
No, your best bet would be on the support board to ask in the lounge area, maybe somebody's heard. I'm pretty certain something exists.
Yeah, I keep hearing rumors, but haven't actually seen any like real material evidence of it. So. Yeah. Yeah.
Are any of these networks hooked up through BitNet?
No, and that's kind of what this discussion was. These last couple of questions were about. BitNet is, well, it's different, but it's kind of part of that great big enormous umbrella called Internet. And so, if you want to be able to pass messages back and forth, FIDONET as a network has gateways that are run into Internet, and you could use it to send messages to BitNet mail users and back. The actual existing gateways are pretty reliable all in all. Like all of FIDONET, they're volunteer-based, so you kind of take the risk, I suppose. But at least in my experience, they've always been pretty reliable. The other thing you can do, and that's really what they were talking about, is setting up your own either FIDONET to Usenet gateway to so you're responsible for the gating of the messages into Internet yourself, or having direct support for it, which is what Jack Rickard at BoardWatch has done. So. And here in Denver, we're lucky. I think I've only had one situation where a message I've sent never managed to get to its destination, so that's a pretty good track record all in all. And the advantage is for a FIDONET member is that it's free. I mean, it's the cost of a local call, which is no cost in my case, so it's kind of a nice way to do it. But as far as direct linkages into it, as far as ESOP is concerned, we don't have them. You had a question, too? Not really. People are getting them confused to a certain degree. Interchange is really a general purpose outdial so that you could do some brute force gateways in a sense where a user could, for example, with a script you write, hit a hotkey on your TBBS menu, and in the background where the user isn't seeing it, it could seize a modem, dial out to another system, log on, and then patch them through. What we're demoing in the booth, the portion of it is the really what I presume to be really only the sysop side where you could actually manually seize any line yourself and manually dial out with it. TIMS 1.1 also does outdial, but it is FIDONET outdial, so it's not going to be the general purpose thing. So they're really two separate pieces. Bill?
It was originally forecast as sometime in 92. I've got to confess that all the preparation for the show has at this point, there is no official release date on it. We have it in enough of a shape to show some of it in the booth, but it's going to be the last of the three. The QSO and TIMS 1.1 will come out first, and then it will come out over minimally at least 45 days apart between products. That pushes it out to January right there, so I think it's going to be a good time. I don't see it
Yeah.
To what extent should one be concerned about confidentiality?
Well, in FIDONET, you've got reason to be concerned, and I would always approach it with the assumption, just like you do on using a cellular phone or a portable phone or something like that, the safest assumption is that somebody's watching or somebody's reading your to its destination. There isn't really any risk in that, except, of course, usually if it's a BBS, the sysop can read all messages on a system. If it's routed, the potential always exists for somebody to see it, because really when it's routed, in most cases, although not all, it's actually brought into their message base first and then sent back out again. There's pass-through in some systems where it's just, this isn't for me, and it's just immediately passed on outbound. But I think really the only safe assumption is it's not private enough to be totally, totally confidential. Maybe, may not be, but and I think most people who are who serve an administrative position in FidoNet don't have the time to be reading the kind of volume they carry. So I don't know. There is some of that going on.
Well,
but
let me ask a different question, which is why would you want this to be done? Your FidoNet in itself is all amateur people doing it as a hobby, and they don't want you using this for business purposes because otherwise they're subsidizing your business. And other than a business purpose, I don't really see a reason for a truly private message to an individual when you can just as easily call them on the phone and have a truly private conversation. So you kind of have to look at it from a different perspective. If you're looking for something truly private, you have to have a reason. And in most cases in FidoNet, the reason is not something that they're really going to want to help you out with, so to speak.
Just like ham radio.
Right.
Yeah, that can be
right.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be a good reason for your network radio?
You could if you wanted to. There's never anything to stop you from doing that. Businesses definitely should. We're in a unique position with ESOP. We support FidoNet technology and we support FidoNet products. And we do not send our mail get routed in any way if we can help it. We have to send it direct because we want to get to the right person. We want to make sure nobody reads it along the way. You know, you're always welcome to call directly. And therefore, it is private. But as soon as you start getting into encryption and things, you're going through a lot more effort than it's worth. And somebody's going to see a message on their system. He's going to be one of the ones you're going to route it through. He's going to say, I can't read this and delete it. So
it
won't get there anyway. You just never know.
Quick. KWK?
Yeah.
Kind of a different that presentation, I suppose.
My option model session. It's not FidoNet product.
Yeah. As I said, it's certainly largely supplanted any genuine need to do points at this stage of the game. So that's really the only connection, but they're really two separate things. Yeah. What kind of what? Just by virtue of joining FidoNet, none whatsoever. Once you're established and can kind of get in with the mainstream of your local FidoNet area and you start getting hooked up to Echo Mail, you still have the control over which Echo Mail areas you choose to carry and which ones you don't. So you kind of control the volume. The bigger, more broad appeal Echo Mail areas can be a real significant volume, so you will kind of not want to just go hog wild initially with it, but kind of try it out little bits at a time. Otherwise, you can get flooded with a pretty significant volume of it. Yeah? Yeah, people often use that node list actually as kind of a convenient up to the minute BBS list, and it's actually real common for that. The other thing is that part of Echo Mail, typically anyway, is what they call an origin line, which tells just a line of text, one line of text that identifies the system, and usually its location and telephone number where that message originated from. And JP's right, it winds up kind of putting your BBS and your BBS telephone number out with national exposure, and a lot of times people are going to call and expect it to be something, too.
You probably want to think when you start, if you really have to do it, it's the point-to-point connection, you probably ought to think about that a little bit and just set up your own private net, which is really easy to do.
Yeah.
You don't have to really get BBS, get in the file network just to use the service. But one, if you want to be part of the group, then they're going to expect you to be part of the group.
Right.
I know this is the first point.
Anybody else have more questions? Yeah.
My purpose is for looking at doing FidoNet and doing networks like that. I want to be able to have a corporation I work for connected with it around the world, basically with another company that's considering investment. Obviously, from what you're saying over here, that the FidoNet model.
You would want to do that through a private.
Is that going to be
different? Yeah, what is really here in your question, I think, maybe hasn't come across clearly, is the difference between FidoNet and FidoNet technology.
associated, it's not connected, your mail doesn't go through it, it's totally your own instruction. The network itself is the phone list, set of phone numbers you have. And that's all there is to it. So if you use FidoNet technology to set up a private network and it doesn't touch FidoNet, you'll have, if you have 20 systems as an example in that network, your node list will have 20 telephone numbers in it, and that will be the only system that anything ever goes to. And if you structure it that way, you're using FidoNet technology to build a private network, and then the security issues are all your own business. Because you own all the computers that goes to it.
Yeah. Do you have one?
Oh.
No.
No.
Actually, what you've already got.
We'll do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
How will, I guess, the new version of Tim's affect performance? Like, for example, sometimes you dial into a board and it says scanning for a mail carrier or something like that, and it takes a while to get in. How will this appear in the new version of Tim's?
Same really as the old version, because the only real part of it that the user ever sees, well, potentially ever sees with bulletin boards, is when the mailer actually is the thing that answers the phone before it drops through. In TBBS, with the old TIMS, and it'll remain true with the new TIMS, it's totally, totally transparent. So what happens is the user logs on and sees the exact same display that he'd see if TIMS was not installed. So really where it happens is it's linked into the first name prompt. If the caller happened to start cranking a FidoNet session and saying, "Are you FidoNet?" TIMS, once it's installed, would respond from the name prompt, is actually where it happens from, rather than an upfront thing like it is with other bulletin boards that are single line, where the mailer answers and then drops to the BBS. So it's totally transparent and that won't change.
Okay, so the log on is not closed.
Nope. Yeah, the users won't know any different, and it'll sit there and respond automatically to mail calls when they come. Yeah?
How would one go about getting a copy of what I would call conference areas or subject areas in FidoNet?
You'd need to contact the echo mail areas is what they would be in FidoNet. You'd need to, in your own area, contact. Most nets have an echo mail coordinator as well, who's responsible for bringing in everything off the nationwide echo mail backbone is what they call it, and he or she could provide that list.
Yeah.
There's a file called an echo list, which lists all the echo mail areas, who's in charge of them, what they talk about, and it's available on a lot of different systems, but if you contact your local area net coordinator and ask that specific question, they can tell you where to get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're sending the message to somebody, email on a TBBS system, you simply type in the name.
Mm-hmm.
If you're sending a message to somebody that on a private network that's say you're talking to the Denver TBBS and the message is going to go to the St. Louis.
Right.
How do you structure that address and type it in?
The same way that's actually visually in the handout, the 1:104/36, they'd actually type it in that way.
Well, there's also another way, which is the new TBBS has automatic lookup from your address list. You can create an address list, compile it into your thing. You can have 100 employees in 20 different locations. You type in their name, and it'll say, boom, they're here.
Can you do that offline right now with the
With XFLAC node, it's a node list compiler. It has a way to give it an address list. You say, George Peace is at this address, and Bob Hartman is at this one, and Alan Bryant is at this one. And it'll add those to your SysOp address list, and when you type in those names, that's the address that will pop up. You have the option of changing it, because you may not want to send it there. You might think another place is better, but it'll know all those people in their address.
Any others? Doesn't look like it. Well, thank you. And if other questions do come up, we've got people in our booth that can handle that.
You don't need
to. I want to see if my man is on.